get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said, get up now.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and you know, we all know money makes the world go round, but how can we teach our kids the value of the dollar, how to save, and really how to pay attention to their spending habits? Well, we have a guest who's joining us who does just that. She teaches kids about money.
So you must play, don't shovel, choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here, be careful.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and we're talking about money. Money, money, money. It makes the world go round. But, you know, what kind of lessons are there when it comes to money and your children? And we have a guest joining us, Jamie Wieg, the president of Junior Achievement, because you actually, welcome first, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You do a lot with Junior Achievement as far as educating kids on the way the world goes round and money and how to save. What kind of opportunities and programs do you teach to our youth here locally?
Well, Junior Achievement, we actually cover 6 counties here on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. So I teach over 6,000 kids a year.
Wow.
We do kindergarten through 12th grade. So, we can kind of get into this, but the kindergarten students, I mean, we start teaching them just what is money, what does it look like, up to my 12th graders learn online stock trading. So, yeah. And it should be known, though, and you kind of mentioned this as I walked in, but, parents don't know when or how to talk to their kids about money or when's the most appropriate time to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, they also think that teachers are teaching this in school. It's not mandated through our Board of Education for the state of Maryland. In fact, we're one of 11 states that does not require it as a standalone graduation requirement. And now Jay doesn't necessarily take a stance on whether that should be required or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're starting then, you're starting way too late. Because
mm-hmm.
in fourth grade is when they've technically decided their spending habits.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we start teaching in kindergarten. And a lot of parents don't know that. They think, oh, they're not going to understand. They're not going to get it. But they will. And the younger, the better.
Fourth grade, though, is spending. That's when you know your child's. What do you think about
well,
that, Kathy?
Well, no, I mean, my kids are, how old are they? 6, 8, and 7. And
well, at least you know you had 2.
Well, exactly. you could see their spending habits years ago. I mean,
mm-hmm.
one will not part with his money for anything, and the other one will spend it the moment it crosses her palm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's
I think
good,
you're right. I think fourth grade, maybe too late.
No, and it's a good point that you just brought up. You have 2 children with 2 totally different spending habits. That's the other issue with parents. If you're a single parent and you're one type of spender and you're dealing with a different personality of somebody, say you're a very frivolous spender and you're dealing with someone who, or a child who likes to save their money, you guys already have communication barriers
mm-hmm.
in terms of teaching and helping cultivate the way they spend, because you know everybody spends in a different way, and it's just being able to kind of harness how you do it and how you kind of keep it all organized and controlled.
Well, I have an 8-year-old son, and
mm-hmm.
I think that the problem when it comes to money, he has a bank account. It's a savings account, and every time he gets money in a card, put it in my bank account, Mom. Put it in my bank. Okay, I'll do that for you. But then when he wants something, it's kind of like, well, if Mom buys it, then my money is great in the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's something I say no to, well, I can use my money.
Mm-hmm.
I can use my money. And it's like a brand new big screen TV. I'm like, no, I don't think so. You're not thinking, really.
You can't have that Ferrari,
no.
Son. You're not even 16.
So the value of things, mm-hmm. and even making them understand, too, they don't get, both of my boys still don't get plastic,
mm-hmm.
where it comes from, why you can, there's credit and there's debit, and I'm like, you have to have the money in the bank
mm-hmm.
to use the debit card. For the credit card, you still have to pay it back.
Yeah, there are a lot of adults that don't know that. Let's not even worry about the kids. We can start with the adults and, you know, kind of work our way down. But you also have a good point there. We, in my 8th grade curriculum that I teach, the students purchase a coffee for $1.09, which, by the way, we all know that is not true if you go to Starbucks, but
mm-hmm.
it's $1.09 in JA world, and they pay with their credit card.
Okay.
And then it shows the life of a 1-year-long credit with you're paying the minimum amount. So they end up paying, it's like $19.87 on this coffee. And it's so funny to see all the aha moments in the students' eyes where they're like, why would you ever use a credit card? And I'm like, funny you should bring that up,
mm-hmm.
because I mean, it's like 80-some percent of students between or graduating seniors between the age of 21 and 28 don't even still understand what a credit card is and where that money is coming from.
Yeah.
And that's scary. I mean, if you look at the way the last 3 or 4 years have been for our society, I mean, you can kind of see how that built and everybody's living on credit. I mean, people are living 20 to 30,000 beyond their means.
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's funny because money can be such a taboo subject. And growing up, you know, I didn't learn about money at home. We didn't talk about it. It just wasn't discussed. And so I find myself having to really force myself to think about it and to think about what I'm teaching my kids. And I've had some money issues this year with teaching my son to be responsible. And, you know, I've shared some things on here of what he has done. But we sat down and we had this little discussion and we talked about, you know, what people make, salaries that people make. Now, my son's 12 and my daughter's 8. So how much things cost. And it was really surprising to me what they knew and what they didn't know.
Well, here's what's really scary. So I deal with, obviously, all age ranges, but my third and fourth graders, the fear in their face from hearing mommy and daddy talking about money issues or talking about fear of losing their job or just talking about the economy in general, but it might not relate to them. Kids can feel that stress, they can hear that stress, and they can understand that stress. And if you don't talk to them about it, they will create their own world for dealing with that or create their own answers. So as much as possible, keeping that lines of communications. Do I think there should be definitely major walls? Yes. And maybe you should also be very open with your spouse about talking very privately, maybe even in another building, your home away from home or at dinner or somewhere else so that kids can't participate in it. But they see it on TV.
Yeah.
You know, even cartoons now, they're talking about, oh, I've lost my job. And you know, so kids are like, what if mommy and daddy lose their job, and talking to them about that. So they know, and they know at a very young age.
Well, I do like when we go to the grocery store and they'll want something and I'll say, well, look, you know, this one's on sale, and they totally get that. And they'll now point it out to me, or I'll say, you know, I have a coupon for this one, or let's use, discount card or something. And, you know, they get that. And I love that they get that.
So I have the spender and the saver. So should I, you know, give me some advice here. Do I get the spender to save? Do I get the saver to spend? Like, where's the line?
I would never get the saver to spend.
Well, and I'm a saver. So, you know, we're right there together, and I don't know what to do with the spender.
Well, you know, there's different ways to go about it. And you just have to be careful, because with kids, you never want to put them in a square box and don't allow them to be who they are, because that's where that barrier.
That's true.
Like, you know, because for translation. So if you speak to a student who is an artist about business, they become disconnected in school. So allowing them to see what they could do with their skills, but be smart about it. So if you think of it as spending for your future, putting money into, you know, if you just kind of talk to them in their own language, they'll understand more. And all of a sudden, spending into your savings account will seem like they're doing something. You know, they can buy bonds.
I like it.
It's not as fun as new shoes.
I was going to say, right. Or she could buy her 25th stuffed animal. Which,
that's right.
You know.
Right, yeah, so. Right. Mm-hmm. It is hard. I would think if you talk to any banker, they have the same issue with adults, spenders and savers.
That's so true.
Because some people save so much, but they never experience life because they've never had an opportunity to do stuff. So you want to make sure that you're covering both bases.
Well, we're going to take a little break, but we're going to come back with you, Jamie, because, yeah, we definitely, I think there's a lot that parents listening can take away from this interview. So we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Christopher Kimball from America's Test Kitchen Radio. Each week, we take you behind the scenes into the world of equipment tests, taste tests, the science of cooking, and culinary history. You'll learn how to make New York-style pizza and perfect scrambled eggs, and you'll join me for blind tastings of wine and supermarket foods. And of course, we take your calls to answer your questions each week on America's Test Kitchen Radio from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Saturdays at 3 on WSDL.
We are still talking about money with Jamie Wieg from Junior Achievement. And Jamie, it'd be interesting for you to kind of go through, because parents at home might not know this that are listening, what can our kids understand at certain ages?
Mm-hmm.
Like grouping in some maybe elementary school, middle school, high school. What is the teachable
components there, depending on their ages.
I work with second and third graders that understand what checking account is and that you write on a piece of paper and it translates to money. Mm-hmm. They get little fake ATM cards where they get to go buy a burger from their checking account. So they have their little ATM card and they will swipe it in between their desks. They've seen it, so they'll mimic what they've done. So if you think of elementary school as you can see everything and you're a sponge and you can see it, but you obviously haven't learned what it is, but you know that it translates into some, you know, ATM swipe equals
money.
Yeah. So at that beginning stage, you know, you can explain when you're swiping your card, do you know why mommy's swiping the card? And, you know, no. And that money is being taken out of my bank account through this computer system and paying the company for this product. And you can just kind of start talking about it. Middle school is a great age because they've generally seen everything. They've already begun their spending habits and understanding. So that gives you an opportunity to mold them either way. So they understand and you can have an adult conversation, a fairly adult conversation. So my middle schoolers, they learn income tax, they learn budgeting, they learn, you know, how much money you make if you're a dentist and how much money you make if you're working at McDonald's or whatever. So they start to learn that and they start to understand that. And that part is so important because then when they go to high school, they're engaged, there's relevance, and they can really focus.
In middle school, I have a daughter who's in sixth grade. I think there's a lot of peer pressure. I think it's when they first really feel peer pressure and maybe act on it. So do you offer any advice on how to deal with peer pressure when it comes to money? Because obviously not everybody comes from the same income. And when they're all at the mall and somebody's, you know, dumping for a necklace somewhere or a dress here, I mean, how do you have any advice for, because I'm facing that right now with my daughter who's going to the mall a lot with some friends. And so, you know, I can't give her $50 every time she goes to the mall to go buy stuff. So any advice for that?
Yeah, and that's hard because then you go into, you know, everybody's socioeconomic status and then kids, you know, so-and-so has a pool and that kind of stuff. And it's hard because then they come home and they feel the stress of, well, how do I get more money? And that goes back to teaching them about savings. And that's fine. If you want to take $50 to the mall, then you need to figure out a way to save for that. And here's what we can do to do that.
And earn it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is hard if there is a vast difference. You know, I had a friend when I was younger that, I mean, they had everything. I mean, she had no boundaries. My guess is she's probably bankrupt on credit card debt after her parents got let go from their jobs. So, I mean, I think some of that learning, it's still not so fun for you and your daughter because you look like the bad guy. But then
there's also, you know, you don't want them to pass judgment, or the friend who has the money to spend to pass judgment on your daughter, or, you know, another friend who doesn't.
But there's also, I think, a component here to teaching them the value of things. So if you go buy a necklace every time you go to the mall at Charming Charlie's, it means nothing. But if you get to go buy one, you know, because you've saved up for that and you've been looking at it and that's the one you really want,
so much more valuable.
You're going to take care of it.
I always say that about weather. I'm leaving for San Diego tomorrow and I'm so excited, you know, to go. And my girlfriend, I was like, how's the weather? And she's like, it's 70, you know, no.
Perfect.
It's never going to rain and anything. And I'm thinking like, how great. And she's like, oh my gosh, you would think it was like, you know, Christmas. I'm like, but see, that's the problem is we see rain and we see cold and we see whatever, but that perfect sunny spring day, the first one, you're so appreciative and you're like on cloud nine, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
There's the same thing.
There's a reason we don't have Christmas every day.
Yes, exactly. And that is a good lesson to teach, and also understanding the rewards of paying for something because you've worked really, really hard for it.
I agree. And I think that my husband actually and I, we disagree on, you know, basically we told our son that, you know, if you get straight A's until your senior year, you will get any car that you want. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with it. You know, that would be phenomenal because my husband's thinking, how much are we going to save on college? Of course,
right?
We'll buy him any car he wants. But if you invest in that car, you're going to take better care of it. You're going to be safer on the road. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what I think because I had to pay for half of my first car, and I didn't get it till I was 22.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
I think the value of, yes, I put my hard-earned cash into it, so I will take better care of it.
And every time you walk by it, you like polished it a little bit and like made sure everything.
It was spotless. It was so clean. I took very, and I was then safe on the roads. I can't really say that for now.
Well, but. And I see that already with the 7 and 8 year old. The, you know, the toys that they buy themselves, they take much better care of. Mm-hmm. Spend more time picking them out, cherish them more when they get them home. So, yeah, I think it's a great lesson to say, you know, you can buy it when you've earned it.
Mm-hmm. And if you talk to a child who is 8 and you say, what was your favorite toy when you were 4? And they say, well, I don't know. And you say, I'll tell you what it was. It was this. And they're like, I don't remember that. Okay. Well, guess what? In 4 years, your 8-year-old favorite toy, you'll forget. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to spend money, but memories will have to last a lifetime. So sometimes things that you don't physically buy are the best things that you have. Like when you think about your favorite trip with your family, or even like, you know, I remember one night I met my mom, or one day I met my mom for lunch, and we just went to McDonald's. We just met, like, I was going to the airport, and it's like one of my favorite memories. And I think it cost me $3.99 for a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's a great tip. And, you know, I think about it's the how we set the bar. So if we start giving them money for everything that they ask for at the young ages, then it's really hard to go back and take that back. You know, if you set the bar where, like, I know my son just wanted this school year, he wanted to buy a pair of Vans. And we went looking for the Vans and ended up he wanted a pair, a special pair, and he had to order them online. And I said, well, you know, you're going to have to spend your own money for those. This, you know, you don't need another pair of shoes and you're going to have to buy it yourself. Well, he treats them like a piece of gold. He really does. He wears them on special occasions. If it's raining, he will not
last
wear
him a
them.
Lifetime.
But that goes back to not doing dishwasher equals this. Yeah. It's at the end of the month, you'll get this if you've done all of this. Because then what happens is, as they get older, you know, like when my boyfriend cleans, does the dishwasher and looks at me like he's supposed to get some reward. I'm like,
you want a cookie? I'm like, yeah, that's what I say. You want a cookie?
You're 30 something years old. Clean just the dishwasher. You're not getting an allowance. Like, not your mom.
Yeah, that's a whole different show. Training men.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Chris. Jamie, thank you so much. We have so much great advice. And for all the parents listening out there, we will have resources on our website, becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Each week on Celtic Connections, we bring you the finest of traditional and contemporary Celtic music. From Ireland, Scotland, England, Wales, and North America. Tunes you can tap your toes to, and songs that will transport you to misty mountains and moors. This is Brian Kelso Crowe inviting you to join me for Celtic Connections.
Sunday evening at 10 on WSTL 90.7 FM, Delmarva Public Radio.
Yeah, we didn't want Jamie Wieg from Junior Achievement to go away because we have so much more to talk about when it comes to money and kids, but not just kids. There's there are definitely some older kids getting ready to go off to college, and that's a whole different ballgame when it comes to money, because as we were just talking, they are inundated with people standing on their campus saying, here, sign up for a credit card and you get a free T-shirt. So what is the messaging to them, Jamie?
Number one, talk about it at length. Ask them, what do you know? Find out what they don't know. Talk about what you do know. If you don't feel like you have the right answers, go speak with a financial advisor. You know, use online resources. Don't be afraid. But by not speaking with them, the unknown becomes very fancy, especially if they are getting free stuff for signing up for credit cards. Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, how cool does that sound? Here's a $2,500 free money. You know, they don't realize they have to pay it back, and it's 29.99% interest.
Yeah.
but definitely talk to them, but so that they're able, you know, same thing with when you talk to your children about drugs or anything else, you are preparing them to handle what their response should be so that they know what to say and how to say it. Because, I mean, you know, I remember in high school and college and in my 20s, it was really hard to say no to someone because I felt bad, or you're so worried about hurting someone's feelings. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like 35. I'm like, no, no, no. I'm like, don't care who I piss off. No, I'm just kidding. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things, like, if you give them the tools and the resources to be able to say no, or to be able to understand and how to respond, they won't dive into it, because you might talk to them all you want, but if they don't feel comfortable saying no, they'll still do it.
And then that was the other question I kind of had, where, and we all have made these mistakes where we have to make that phone call home and say, I need money. So then to the parents, I don't know. I tried not to do that. I had a job in college, but sometimes you just don't make enough. Mm-hmm.
And do you send your kids off to college with that emergency credit card? You know, hold on to this just for an emergency. Are they, you know?
I don't know.
See, here's the thing.
You have to know your kid.
Exactly. I was going to say. Exactly. I was just going to
Obviously, Ben would be fine with that emergency credit card.
Right. Yeah.
Andy, not so much.
He would add money to the credit. He'd be like, can I put money on the credit card? Exactly. Where do I send the check to the credit card company to try to build that balance?
That's funny.
Yeah, but you're right. It's unfortunate because there's no checkoff list and there's no right or wrong way, because you have to know your kids. You have to be able to decipher what they're able to handle and what they're not able to handle. And worse yet, you have to be able to express it to them so that they understand it in their terms. So, you know, being a parent is obviously not easy at all, and that just adds to the list. But JA and schools are trying to be a little bit more, and that's the reason I think you talked about it, is it was taboo when you were younger. Well, that's the reason why schools don't want to talk about it. What if they tell you, yes, you should send them to school with an emergency credit card, and then all of a sudden
rack up a whole bunch of debt.
Yeah, and so schools don't want to be responsible for teaching the wrong thing. So, you know, JA is unique in the fact that we're not a part of the school system, but we can still educate them and then let them kind of make their own decision. And then from a parent standpoint, if you're just there to be supportive and like very open in communication, they'll eventually make the right decisions. You know, I mean, everybody kind of, if they mess up, you kind of, I mean, I could tell you all day long what my beliefs are, but you know, you have to decide.
Yeah, some parents would say, okay, I'll bail you out this time. And then this happens again.
It's a learning experience. Yeah. And I do like a credit card that's got a certain limit on it, obviously. I mean, you're not going to give them an Amex with no limit, but something that, you know, but I would be fearful if my child were in a situation where they couldn't get out of it financially, too. So
See, like my mother gave me, credit cards weren't so easy to get for. Back then, my mom would send me cash to have, you know, for myself. But she also, the reason she did that was so that I could physically see the money dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had X amount of dollars per month. And so what would happen is I would get to that $20 and I'd still have 3 weeks left. I'd already spent $150, you know, and I'd have that $20, and it was like, you know, they'd be like, yeah, let's go get some gum. And I'd be like, gum?
No.
Gum is like 69 cents. Well, back then it was 69 cents. I'm like, no. So, I mean, you know,
But that was also an important lesson.
Right.
About pacing yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I kind of like the old fashioned way of doing things, only because sort of showcases what's to come and gives you a little bit more. So when I swipe a credit card, I'm a little bit more thinking of that $20 than I was if I just had a credit card with an endless limit and there's no connection to money. You just swipe it and this magical machine gives you a free sub from Subway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Jamie, you've been doing this with JA for a while. What has surprised you the most with students of any age? Like, what haven't they known?
How much they know. I would say my top two would be, number one is how much they know. I have talked to a kindergartner before that is talking to me about interest rates, and I'm just floored. You know, they don't know what they're saying exactly, but the fact that they've heard it. Mm-hmm. And then number two would absolutely be the amount of stress and pressure on our kids that come down from parents, or the dynamics of what's going on at home from hardships and losing a job, or, you know, they find out the next door neighbor can't afford their mortgage, or they're doing a fundraiser because someone's going to lose their home, or whatever it might be. You know, if you don't talk about it, those stresses just kind of weigh on their little shoulders. And I mean, I've had second graders that are so stressed about, in fact, I guess it was 2 years ago, WBOC did an interview with a student I had at Prince Street Elementary, and he started crying, which I had no idea. They asked him how they felt about his parents or something, and he started crying. He was so scared that his parents were going to lose. And imagine being 6, 7, 8 years old and that kind of stress. I mean, he should be worried about, you know, if he should keep his shirt on at recess, not whether his mom or dad are going to be able to afford a shirt for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so much. And I just, you know, your heart goes out to these little stress balls and you just want to help them. But again, open communication as much as possible.
Yeah, I think as a family, it's hard to shield some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do think as parents, we have to realize that they are little sponges and they absorb mm-hmm. when you're not even, you know, when you don't even think they're paying attention. So dealing with it head on and giving them some skills is great advice. Absolutely.
And we have about 2 minutes left, and I know that Kim had wanted to talk about allowance, and I do too, because I just started giving mine an allowance. They have to do chores around the house, but I didn't even really know what to start off giving them.
Yeah.
I was like, is it $3, $5? I mean, because it's going to be every week that
right.
if they do those chores, they're going to get that money in their hands. So what is your advice as to parents who are...
Well, again, there's probably no happy answer. I mean, I guess, you know, it depends. And some parents are probably hearing you say $3 and $5, and they're like, 50 cents is awkward. I hope my kid doesn't hear this. I used to get 50 cents for unloading the dishwasher. Those were different times.
Every time? Yeah.
Every time.
I'll pay you 50 cents
for unloading the dishwasher. I make that about an hour working for JA. there is no right or wrong answer. And again, this is my opinion. This is not an opinion of JA or anything else like that. But I think allowance is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the money should not just be rewarded for work and good behavior, but like to have an actual chart that explains the parameters of you're just getting them set up to understand when you work hard, you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And that translation to me personally, I think is absolutely great. You know, the amount would have to go along with whatever your budget is, and creating a budget. Mm-hmm. Saying, okay, well, you know, mom can't give you $5 for everything you do because that would be $1,000 a week. And, you know, but, you know, let's come up with a budget. How, you know, at the end of the month, we want you to have $25. So you're going to do these things
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being like dishwasher equates to 50 cents, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah equates. You know, it's more like here's your checkoff list. And at the end of the day, that's how much you're going to get. That'll help you budget. That'll help right. them budget.
It's the big prize at the end of the month then,
yeah.
not maybe even every week. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And my seventh grade students, they do a budget for a family vacation. So they have to go home with their family and they create a budget to save money. And what's funny is a couple of my students have come back where the parents are willing to chip in money for stuff they do around the house. So instead of saying, if you're good, I'll take you to Disney World, this is what mommy needs to do to not go insane.
Yeah.
And then she'll want to take you to Disney World. And so here's the list. I'm going to give you some money for this. And, you know, and kind of creating a little budget and writing it down and having a plan. And again, that goes back to open communication.
Yeah.
I like it.
If there's one theme, it would be open communication.
We've got some great advice. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully all the kids out there who might be listening, as mom's listening, are thinking, yeah, I can earn some money. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.